Good morning. You are listening to 91.9 FM WDRT in Viroqua, Wisconsin. This is the Heart of Wellness Show with hosts Drs. Paul and Paula Grenier. Today's guest is Dr. Deborah Zucker. She is a naturopathic physician and is here to talk with us about vitality. Welcome, Deborah.
My favorite topic.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we're so happy you joined us. You know, we're referred to you by a friend, Steve Elfrink. And so we always love that Steve's out there, referring us great people to talk with, because, you know, we do this every week and it's great to have just all kinds of folks out there working in the wellness world and getting new ideas. So thank you for joining us today. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. I've heard wonderful things about you too and the town that you're based in. It sounds like a very vibrant community.
Love to have you for a visit someday. It's extremely vibrant and no mosquitoes.
Yeah.
The Midwest. That's a big thing.
We shouldn't say that on air. That might bring the people in.
We might turn into a big city overnight.
But seriously, because we don't have many lakes around and standing water kind of thing, it's just like mostly ridge tops and valleys and a little bit in the valleys. But we really enjoy our summers here. That was one of our secret surprises we didn't know about when we moved here. So we've been pleasantly thrilled with that. So, can you give us a little background on who you are? Like, how did you be, you know, like, you're a naturopathic physician, you wrote a book, just a little bit of like who you be to get us started with our conversation.
Yeah, sure. Well, back in 99, I went through a healing crisis of my own. I was 24 at the time and kind of spun down into chronic fatigue and depression, anxiety, and a host of other symptoms. And from that journey, which basically, you know, put my life path as it had been to a screeching halt, I felt called to explore how I can support other people on their healing journey. So my healing journey kind of became a living experiment. And that drew me to naturopathic medicine, which I had never been exposed to before. I grew up in the Midwest and hadn't really had opportunities for different alternative kinds of and holistic orientation around health and healing. So I went on the journey of becoming a naturopathic physician, and through that, my own exploration around chronic fatigue and the other things I was exploring in my own health were interwoven in my studies. And through that, after I graduated and began my own practice, I was taking and distilling what I was learning and in how I was working with my clients, and also continuing to navigate the ups and downs of my own healing. And from that was born the book that I recently have launched into the world called The Vitality Map, a guide to deep health, joyful self-care, and resilient well-being.
Mm. May I ask how old you were in 1999?
24, she was. She's a youngin', she's only 41.
Yeah?
Yep.
Oh, 24 years old, okay. Wow. That was quite probably a process to be thrown into that kind of health, you know, being young like that. Usually.
Yeah, it was hugely transformative on all levels. You know, it's like the healing journey began on the physical level, but quickly I was drawn into the mental, emotional, spiritual realms and really kind of, waking up to life and at a whole new level. And yeah.
How's your family accept you? Are you the black sheep on the? How's that all going?
My parents are wonderfully accepting. Both my brother and I would say we're both black sheep in different ways. And my mom has actually been going through her own healing journey and been learning a lot along with me. Yeah, they love what I'm doing and have been incredibly supportive and
Well, we're canaries really of the our generation here or where we're at. We've created a cesspool of toxicity out there in the world, from electronics to fear to chemicals in the world, and we got to somehow transform individually and as a collectively as a group. So it's, you know, regardless of your age, the process has to happen. Otherwise, we have a potential of not surviving as species on this planet and potentially doing a lot of damage to the planet at the same time. So this is, appreciate your choice to forge forward and make that transition or continue on that transition, because it's not easy to be some of the first people mm-hmm. to do it. But really, in my mind, it's just going back to, it's not like we're transforming. We're trying to find our way back with a more spiritual awakening as we, again, swim through this little cesspool we've created.
Mm-hmm. Deborah, were you, I'm just curious, like, what was your career path prior to this? Like, were you in the health field, or is this like a totally different direction your life went?
It was a totally different direction. I was oriented around becoming an experiential environmental science high school teacher, and had visions of creating my own outdoor-oriented school. And I'd been a wilderness guide and outdoor educator for a number of years before that. And so it was a huge life shift, and I really have taken that orientation around teacher, which was engendered in me at a pretty young age when I became a camp counselor. You know, that's been coming with me in terms of the style of how I work and how I engage with clients and group programs that I do. So it's just taken on a new focus that is definitely related to the old focus, but with an emphasis around health and healing.
Right. Well, doctor means teacher, so we also hold that same kind of thought around our roles in the world too, that we're really here to just help people and teach them and help them give them the opportunity with education to make their health choices. So we spend a lot of time doing that too.
I wouldn't say it was a huge jump. You weren't an accountant anyway.
Right, I was going to say.
Environmentalist, that you just started eating now some of the things you walked in. Is all.
Yeah. You know, I like to say, you know, because, it's sort of ironic that at the time that I spun down into the chronic fatigue, I was living and working at a sustainability living institute, you know, helping people to learn how to garden organically. And so it's like I was learning to walk my talk in some ways. But the whole orientation of personal sustainability hadn't been woven in, and the disconnection that was there and how I was tending to myself was a huge lesson that definitely is now woven into how I support other people. You know, a lot of people I work with are people who deeply care about, you know, our future and are working really hard and serving the greater good, you know, and a lot of them are getting burnt out and struggling with how do I care for myself in the midst of caring for others and in the midst of caring for these causes that I'm really passionate about.
I like that personal sustainability words. I feel like I've never seen those together that way. I don't know why.
Well, we've talked about it on the show because it does blow me away sometimes that people will be environmentalists and they'll see the world and you know, the helping Mother Earth, but their own bodies. Totally different ball game. They have no issues about putting a lot of chemicals in there, or they can even be choosing organic food, but yet they have no issues about you doing a lot of pharmaceuticals or, you know, the 70 plus vaccinations that are out there. You know, this whole process of like our bodies and the earth as its own body, Mother Earth, you know, you have the situation that why is there that disconnect? It's interesting. It's like, you know, you're taking care of the earth and your own body. There's you notice that there needs to be an awakening that self-care maybe needs to even come first in order mm-hmm. for you to be not only an example, but it's part of that vibration. It's all one. It's almost, we talk about that with the airplane. You know, they say, put your mask on first so you can help the person next to you, which may be your child.
Right. That was one of my favorite parenting lines. I'm putting on my own oxygen mask first. I'm going for a run. I'll be back.
Yeah.
You get your yoga session in, you know, whatever it takes. You got to take care of your own vibration first so you can continue to give to other people, other beings, and the earth. So thanks for your awakening.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the map. Let's jump on that journey.
Yeah.
Great. Well, would you like me just to talk about the keys, or where would you like to start?
Is there I'm guessing there's an overall theme of vitality. Obviously, you got yours back, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was disappear, or it was hidden at for a moment when you were going through your own crisis, and then you walking back to me, it's our birthright, the vitality of our being expressed through our physical experience on this planet. Your spiritual being is there, but it takes effort. It takes, you got to earn it, right? I mean, that's, you know, to me, disease and, you know, non-vitality is partially a choice. The food we eat, the how we think, what we do in our life, you know, what type of chemicals do we choose to be a part of? It's a part of that is a choice. What path do you take, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a choice. And then there's also, you know, a lot of unconscious patterns that, that we're not, because they're unconscious, you know, we're not aware of and we're living out and things that have been modeled for us. And you know, I like to think of, in a way, the vitality map is made up of a lot of basic life skills that most of us were never taught. And to me, it was sort of a revelation when the elements of this map began to distill for me, because, you know, like I said, I sort of was using myself as a living experiment with my own healing journey. So I was going to like so many different kinds of practitioners, you know, across the board, from conventional to chiropractors, to acupuncturists, to different kinds of somatic therapies and body workers and naturopathic physicians, you know. So it's like I was trying out all these different modalities and experimenting and seeing what was supporting me and what wasn't. And recognizing, you know, I'd have these ups and downs. You know, I could see that certain therapies, modalities, or practitioners were really supportive, but that something underneath it, like a deeper foundation, was required to actually allow it to sustain and integrate and move with me forward in my life, not so it was just sort of this boom and bust kind of cycle. And what I observed in my own journey was that those deeper changes were often coming outside of, you know, going to, you know, the health practitioners. It was often from, you know, deeper spiritual shifts that were happening in my life, or through leadership development or transformational communities I was a part of. And so what I started to do was distill out, like, well, what are these themes that are emerging? Like, what is it that's actually creating the deeper changes that's allowing then, you know, whatever health practitioners or modalities I'm going to for support, like, what's allowing those things to actually make a bigger difference for me? And so what I see as the vitality map is actually, like, what's underneath all of it. Like, I kind of view it as a foundation for our lives. And you know, and I see self-care as that foundation of how are we orienting towards stewarding this one unique life that we have, that we are uniquely responsible for. And how do we do that skillfully and compassionately, lovingly, and with a lot of consciousness? And I see those as skills and awarenesses that most of us were never taught. And that sort of makes up the foundation.
So in other words, taking your power back. I mean, empowering you to, and maybe if I'm hearing this right, you were going to practitioners and hoping to get answers or to maybe even have them being responsible for that, if I'm hearing that properly, compared to taking your own power and you go to the practitioner to help you release what's inside of there. I don't know if I'm making myself clear. What I'm hearing is you were searching, right? You were searching for answers outside yourself. and then you discovered that was inside of you, to be more simple. Did I hear that properly?
Yeah, that's a beautiful reflection. That's, you know, it's about coming into an orientation where we really see ourselves as our own best health guide, and we develop an intimacy and a sense of self-knowing with ourselves that when we seek out support, we're doing so from the place that, you know, it comes back to us and our own discernment and our own sense of what it is that brings us alive or doesn't bring us alive, or what's resonant for us, because we all need different kinds of support. And so that's a very important part of sort of the web of dynamic of our own healing and our journey in life. And yet it does, as you just reflected, comes back to each of us really owning and feeling empowered around our capacity to guide ourselves in our life, and that the deeper level of change and healing really comes from the shift in orientation towards ourselves and how we're holding ourselves in our lives. And from there, we can get all different kinds of support depending on what we're navigating. But that foundation, if that's not there, you know, it's like everything else gets shaky and it can't really take root.
And you know what? I think you have really tapped into the key of a huge missing link. It is the key to us being truly well on this planet, is that our practitioners need to be taught differently, that we are supporting caste, not the answer, and that we, no matter what type of practitioner we are, that when somebody comes to us, that we offer them some tools, a little tweaking here, how about this little tincture, maybe some herbs, maybe a touch of your hand, maybe an acupuncture needle, but all of it is to unlock the power within the client or the person that's coming to you, instead of I have the answer in this pill, potion, lotion. If you're a natural or a chiropractor or a massage therapist, doesn't mean that you come from a vital standpoint, because you can come in, well, I'll fix that for you, I'll take care of that. You know, if you take that power instead of, you know what, I'm going to just assist your body in its own healing. You know, a therapist for that matter, you know, are they trying to fix your problem, or are they just reflecting back to you what you need to see?
That's a huge point, because you think back into, let's say the 50s, right? People would go to their authority figures in their healthcare. Doctor, tell me what I should do, right? That was just kind of the cultural model, I think, right? And the 60s came along, because I said, wait a minute, maybe I want to do this differently. Maybe I do want to still nurse my baby. Maybe I, right? And all the pushback then from the cultural models or whatever that we had all, I wasn't born yet. Right, I wasn't born yet in the 50s, but, you know, where, you know, you said, people say that now, they're older, and say, well, that's just what you did. You just listened what the doctor told you, because we saw them and we're told they're the expert, right? So I appreciate, like, to the getting to the orientation of getting people to see that they themselves are the best health guide, right? Gathering information and going forward like that. That's really a beautiful.
I love how you said stewarding our own life, you know, your own path in your life, the steward of your own being.
I'm sure, Deborah, like we do, you probably run into lots of clients or folks coming for help, and watching them, you know, making that transformation within themselves, like leaving that place of, or starting at that place of, well, what do you think I should do, right? And then you just, you know, however you would do with them, but, you know, guide them. And then I was like, well, this is what I feel is right for me. Or, yeah, thank you for the information. It's always fun to see folks make that shift, right? They'll come in saying, well, someone told me to do this, and this doctor told me that. And we may offer that, like, well, what do you feel is best for your baby? You know, what does your heart and your gut tell you about your baby? That kind of stuff. And they're like, yeah, they didn't feel right about that, but, you know, I thought I had to. And anyway, they just start to make that change, you know, they in their own path. That's really a place to see.
Yeah, it's so huge, that shift. And we're also programmed, I mean, some of us more than others, you know, to put health practitioners on high, you know, they're up on a pedestal, they're the expert, they've spent all these years in school, you know, And it's like, and that, and like you both were just reflecting, it catches everyone in a dynamic that isn't supportive. It's not supportive for the health practitioner because it creates a lot of, I mean, it's at the root of a lot of burnout, I think, you know, in addition to the other craziness going on in our healthcare system, because it's like it creates so much pressure that it's like, oh, I'm responsible and I need to fix them. And then, you know, from the client side, it's like, yeah, it takes away the empowerment and the sense of really recognizing our own capacity to heal and our own discernment around, the feedback that only each of us are the only ones who can receive the feedback around what brings us alive and what doesn't. And if we're disconnected from that and putting it out there on someone else to tell us what we need to be doing or what works for us, it's not serving any amount of the life wisdom that's within each of us. And and so I love, you know, what you're speaking to when that transformation can happen on a both sides, where we can kind of relax in and ground in ourselves and recognize, that it is each of us that's stewarding our own lives and the honor of that. That's actually, you know, the vitality map's made up of 9 keys, and the first key is honoring your unique life. And it's from that orientation of how can we each really wake up to the preciousness and the fleetingness of these lives that each of us have. We have no idea how long we're going to be alive in these bodies and beings, and what is it to live from that place where we really are embracing the opportunity to guide and steward ourselves into the most vibrant, alive version of ourselves that we can be. And and to seek out support from that place. You know, it's a very different orientation.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that we honor our crew out there because they have stewarded themselves so well. They have chose to listen to the Heart of Wellness and WDRT 91.9. Now, that's true empowerment,
yes.
And we thank them for that.
Yes, thank you, listeners. And if you're just joining us now, today's guest is Dr. Deborah Zucker. She's a naturopathic physician, and she's sharing with us what she's found to be her vitality map and the keys to deep vitality. I appreciate that. I do want to say one thing. I wanted to add that I don't want to sound like I'm ever bashing experts out there, because, you know, there are folks who do know a lot of information. I just appreciate when they can separate themselves from just giving the information to the person in need, as compared to being very like, I'll tell you what's best for you, kind of that difference. And the example I just want to give is that when Paul broke his wrist really severely, we were like, oh, we don't need surgery. We'll just let the body heal itself, right? But this man walked in, this doctor, this surgeon, said, you need surgery.
Well, we went in to find out.
Yeah, well, you know, we went in to get an x-ray, and we were both in this position of like, well, we know the body can heal itself. Does it need surgery? And he got really defensive and was going to walk out of the room and said, fine, do what you want. I said, no, doctor, what I'm asking for you is to please share with us your expertise and your knowingness from your studies, and give us information so that we can make a decision. I respect what you know and what you do. I just would like
that's
the information.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, that's why we're here, because you are an expert. So I wanted to say, if anyone's listening, like, I'm not trying to put down any experts. I'm just saying, make it a relationship that we can, you know, be involved and talk. And then he just totally mellowed, and he said, okay, well, let me show you on x-ray the severity of the situation. And, you know, and then we came to that, well, thank you, because now we understand why you're saying surgery is necessary, and we agree. We just needed to understand before just blindly going into something, right? So that's, I just wanted to kind of
Well, again, it's you just said it, the pressure is off the practitioner when we as a society are taught that from birth we have the power of the eons, of the wisdom of the entire universe within our own body, that, again, from an egg and a sperm, 280 days is a baby born. That wisdom doesn't leave you when you're born. I mean, to me, one of our society, birth and death, we mess up more than anything in the process. And taking the power away from the woman to birth that baby in the practices that we do in the Western world today is an example of taking that power away, not empowering the person to be in charge of their and steward their own health care. And I it would take so much pressure. People would enjoy it so much more. Healthcare would actually be healthcare instead of a disease business. It would become a process of, you know, you're just there to assist them, to guide them, to be a camp counselor for that matter, you know. Your life over, you are just guiding them through their process by your own experience. Give them opportunities to make choices. And our whole educational system, it isn't just in the healthcare world, in the wellness world, it is in our whole education. Instead of like honoring the wisdom and the creativity of each individual, it's like, no, this is the information you have to learn, and you have to spit it back on a test, a multiple choice test, instead of coming up with your own unique answers.
Right. And so this kind of feeds into your number one key, honoring your own unique life and
bingo,
being the one who is in charge of transforming your health and finding your path to sustain you. I mean, that kind of feeds right into that, back to where we were at before Drs. Paul and Paul had to say our piece.
No, I really appreciate that you both said what you did, because I'm also sensitive to that as well, because I really honor the whole spectrum of expertise and training that's out there. I mean, it's pretty extraordinary time in that way, you know, of where our intellect and human creativity has taken us, you know, that we have access to so many different types of support, you know, in our healing journey. And thank God, you know, for surgeons and you know, for some of the you know, the drugs that have come out. You know, it's like there's amazing things that have happened. And it's just, you know, and each of us as individuals will resonate in different ways with different kinds of modalities and wisdom and expertise out there. And so really honoring that. And you know, as you two were highlighting, you know, kind of looking at like, yeah, the embodiment of the practitioners and how we can shift the orientation and the dialogue and the communication so that it's really serving everyone more fully. But it's not a matter of discounting, any type of expertise that's out there, and our none of us can hold all of that information in one being. So we do need the varying supports that are out there.
But again, the true expert is inside or the doctor within. Again, acknowledging that wisdom that creates the universe, that creates a flower, you know, that has a bird go from how many thousand miles and has the bees migrate. It's just, that's some powerful wisdom that is not acknowledged in most of the medical or in the modern practices of healthcare today,
right.
And it's
and that's probably a little bit of a shift happening there too, if they call it the spiritual sciences more now, or you know, there's a certain
awakening
I think occurring there, and you know, some folks will agree with that and some folks won't, but
well, it's the way we treat the earth too, not acknowledging the original native spiritual thankfulness and to understand that we can't control this whole planet, and we have really messed it up. Well, we've really messed up our bodies too with a lot of the practices, and maybe even manipulated our gene pool a bit by how many chemicals we've stuck in our own bodies, and we got some work to do to allow the true vitality.
That could be a whole nother show.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, there are a lot of things to unpack and all that, yes.
So we better whip through these, we don't have to whip through them,
but continue
along
the
path of vitality.
Okay.
Yeah. So shall I dive into key number two, or?
Yes.
If you feel like we've covered and honored the
key number one. Yeah, no, I feel like, I mean, just given the timing, we can just kind of touch in a little bit. But so key number two is facing and embracing your shadows. And for me, this is a huge, huge missing piece in much of healthcare out there, at least in my experience. And what I mean by this one is that, you know, that a lot of the obstacles that keep us from really living into the vitality potential that each of us have are rooted in the shadows. And when I say shadows, you know, I'm referring to sort of the Jungian orientation of the unconscious or sort of subconscious parts of ourselves that are operating and guiding our choices that we might not really be aware of. And, you know, I think most of us have probably had experiences where, you know, we recognize on one level that, you know, we're self-sabotaging or we're avoiding the things that we know actually bring us alive. And it's this strange conundrum, you know, because the truth is most of us know, you know, on some level, the things that help us to thrive in life that we really resonate with. And yet the shadowy territory is like, well, why are we not actually living that way? And what's getting in the way and the complexity of that? And it's hard because we can't see what we can't see. And so recognizing, I mean, first thing is actually recognizing, okay, there's shadow stuff going on. If this is happening for me, there's shadow stuff going on. And then the reason that's key number two in the map is that it's a huge priority to actually have the courage to turn towards that and have support to help us to see what we can't see and what are some of the woundings or traumas or why is it hard for us to actually love ourselves and turn towards ourselves with kindness and have our orientation of self-care actually be about care and compassion and nourishment, you know, not just a list of things that we're supposed to be doing to be healthy, which becomes like sort of a managerial approach, a checklist, you know, which so much of health and self-care and more popular culture, I think, has become that. And so this is about acknowledging there's stuff underneath the surface and how can we support ourselves and ask for support from others to help us to disentangle from that and free ourselves to actually actualize the changes that we seek.
Wow. And you can do a lot of therapy. You can try to run away from it. But if those underlying shadows, as you call them, you know, the ones that we aren't changed, I think that's why people get frustrated with therapy or any other form of healthcare, is because if you don't take care of that underlying stuff, it doesn't work very well, right? Because those patterns take over.
Yeah, and it's funny, I'm just feeling the conversation, the energy of the conversation when you just start to talk about the shadows. I just want to, I'm pulling away and I'm realizing, oh, there I am, maybe, you know, just hiding from whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm just feeling like, oh, we're not talking about love and light and take your power. We're talking about, you really need to look into that and embrace the shadow.
Yeah.
You just feel me going, because it's the hard part, isn't it? It's the hard part of acknowledging where there was been pain.
Well, there's a reason it's hidden.
Right.
I mean, there's somewhere in there that you shoved it down there as a kid or for that matter, what you brought in with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If anybody believes any of the karma.
Right. I mean, but whatever it is, and if it's like you said, unconsciously thought patterns working, right? And you're trying to make this conscious decision to be happy, but yet there's something underlying and finding the right support for that, right? To do that work, which is, you know, many options out there, I'm sure, but finding
some of the
right
baggage
support.
We brought in with our own families and we've done some constellation work. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but that's pretty powerful, bringing in seven generations of potential baggage.
There's many.
Okay, let's move on to the shadow.
Number three.
But you see why you got to do it first, right? You have to at least clean out your closets before you can reorganize. You got to spread it out on your lawn.
Whatever you
have
do.
Have a garage sale.
So one of our mentors we had worked with over the years, he would kind of also take a position of it saying, yeah, it's good to, you know, maybe you want to analyze it and figure it out, but you also might just want to go, oh, that was a bunch of, like he said, he gave the analogy of walking and you step in some dog poo. Remember this one, Paul? And he's like, yeah, you can look at it and say, what kind of dog was it? Was it a, you know, beagle? Was it a Labrador? He goes,
smell
or
it,
you can just, or you can just wipe it off and move on. You know, you don't want to get too caught up in all that, you know, stuff from back there or that crap that you've been in. So it was kind of a light way of looking at it. He was just, but there is this way of having to acknowledge it. Oh, I just stepped in some doo-doo. I better handle that. and then
get
and
new
then
shoes.
On.
That's the way. Burn them.
So, but it's that's the I appreciate the therapists and any other titled professionals out there who are willing to work with people in those areas, because it's you know, it's the hard, messy work with folks, you know, to support them in getting to those places and acknowledging those feelings and shadows and things. It's,
yeah, and I appreciate you bringing in, you know, the analogy of the dogs. You know, it's just sort of like the point of it isn't to become identified with it and to have that be, you know, the focus in and of itself. The point is actually the generativity that comes from that, where you're actually disentangling and freeing yourself, you know. So it's like, and it's an ongoing process. I mean, I feel like every one of these keys is an ongoing process, but certainly the shadow work, I mean, it's just, it's lifetime. We continue to peel away and see things and free ourselves. And in other ways, it's as we continue to evolve and move through our lives, if we choose to engage in this way. And one thing I just want to highlight about it is, like, you know, some of us, you know, through spiritual work or through working with therapists, might have done, you know, a lot of, you know, quote, shadow work and really been delving into, you know, some of the past trauma and woundings and patterns and where they came from. And the distinction that I make in one of the 9 keys to deep vitality is that this is particularly focused on our relationship with self-care. So, you know, it's like someone can have the big breakthrough in a therapy session and then, you know, go and kind of, you know, do the self-sabotaging patterns, whatever it is, we all have them, you know, whatever it is, whether it's binging on particular foods that they know really don't, you know, do very well for their bodies or, we all have our patterns. So this is bringing it to that root relationship with how are we caring for ourselves and the shadows there.
Right.
That's what you talk about. The next one is strengthening your self-awareness muscles. That would be part of that process, right? Where you're...
Dr. Paul's jumping ahead and looking at the notes, Deb.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. So the self-awareness muscles, yeah, I mean, that's really about, like, becoming more intimate with ourselves on all different levels. And I like the word intimacy just because it's like, you know, we talk about intimacy with other people, but how can we really cultivate a deep intimacy with ourselves where we're in tune with all the feedback that's coming our way all the time? And this again, I feel, and this is something that I've had to consciously cultivate, you know, in my healing journey, because I felt like, oh, this wasn't modeled for me. I never really learned how to have discernment around, you know, how do I feel after I eat these foods, or how do I feel after I engage with this person, or I'm engaged with this work, or I go to this place. Like, so every single choice we make in our lives, there's feedback in our body and being. And you know, the shadow part is interwoven with this, because sometimes the feedback is like we have a strong emotional response to something, or we feel a contraction, or we go to, you know, the comfort things that really might not be the deeper comfort, but more the superficial comfort that we're just trying to, you know, placate something that feels uncomfortable. And so, yeah, strengthening your self-awareness muscles is, again, it's also about, like, having that long-term view. You know, the vitality map is a long-term view. It's not about any sort of quick fixes or, oh, if I do this, then I'll have made it to the land of vitality, you know. But it's an ongoing journey. And so the strengthening of our self-awareness muscles is really about recognizing over time, how can we continue to cultivate a curiosity around ourselves? Asking ourselves, what's going on? What am I feeling? And from the subtle levels energetically to physical symptoms we're having, to the emotions, to the sense of, you know, state experiences, or, you know, it's on all different levels, but becoming more intimate, because no one else but us has that capacity to do that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Like, and the self-awareness of our listeners is beyond recognition. They have chosen us because they are so completely self-aware that they want to be reminded on at least on a weekly basis. For listening to the Heart of Wellness and 91.9, we do thank you.
Yes, and today's guest again is Dr. Deborah Zucker, a naturopathic physician, and she's sharing with us information from her book, The Vitality Map, And the 9 keys to deep vitality. We're about to go into number 4.
So we had self-awareness. Obviously, we have an awakening of our clean out our closets, and then you have to have a continued mm-hmm. self-awareness because you're moving along life, and mm-hmm. they're going to come up again. Those patterns come up. And obviously, that takes resilience, right? Because you're going to run into it again. Oh, there's that pattern again. I'm aware of it this time, you know. Mm-hmm. But that takes some energy.
Mm-hmm. So key number 4 is cultivating resilience. And I love the word resilience because for me it acknowledges that, you know, our health and self-care journey needs to be in the context of the realities that everything's in constant flux and change. You know, it's like we can be sort of on our high and feeling really alive and vibrant and things are going great. And then bam, you know, some unexpected thing in life happens. Someone close to us dies, we're in an accident or lose a job or, you know, whatever it might be. And then all of a sudden everything's different and we, you know, can feel like the ground's taken out from underneath us and we can feel all wobbly. And so the resilience, cultivating the resilience is recognizing like that's life, you know, like any orientation that things are supposed to be the same, you know, or that if we just do this, then everything's going to be fine, you know, doesn't acknowledge the realities of life energy, you know, that's infusing us and that's infusing other beings in the world around us. And that's in constant change and evolution. And so the resilience is recognizing like, okay, like health and self-care actually needs to acknowledge that we need to, you know, develop skills and capacities and knowledge and adeptness, you know, in guiding ourselves and continuing to dance and move with all that may come our way. And so that when the ground drops underneath us, like, we have a sense of finding our ground again and finding the next step forward and caring for ourselves as we go.
That nice. Fits perfectly into mm-hmm. our chiropractic world where it's about flexibility, right? Flexibility of the body, flexibility of the joints, flexibility of the mind, flexibility of your emotions, you know, to be able to flow. It's about flow. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to flow through life. You got to move through the bumps and the bruises and then also experience the highs and, you know, just enjoy the valleys, enjoy the hilltops. It's not a straight line unless you live in North Dakota. Or I did. Just there. You're not flatter than that. They actually started, my dad told me, they actually changed the roads to put curbs in them because people fall asleep. Because they're so they had to shift. Isn't that a metaphor funny. For life? You got that curve in it, or it's curves. Just you're gonna fall asleep and not be any self, have no self awareness whatsoever.
Oh, that is funny. Yeah.
They just started doing it. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a good. That's a feel good number 4. See, mm-hmm. we had to get through that shadow. Now I'm like having fun with this number 5.
Yeah, and the next one's even more fun. Yeah. Yeah, so number 5 is aligning with your yes. And this one, yeah, I mean, I love them all, but this one always makes me smile because it's just, to me, it's about really acknowledging how foundational it is that each of us are in tune with what uniquely brings us alive and, you know, which I refer to as yes, you know, like what is that deep yes inside? And that's, you know, at kind of the soul level alignment, but it's also every choice we make, you know, whether it's from the things we put into our body to what we're choosing to invest our life energy in, you know, are we getting returns by, you know, the work we're doing? Does it feed us? You know, because otherwise it's like we're investing our life energy and it's just depleting away. And so aligning with your yes is having the courage to, you know, again, kind of that deep self-responsibility of choosing to thrive in life, you know, choosing to make the choices that bring you alive. And then also, you know, the yes includes the no. You know, there's the no and yes are flip sides of each other. So it's also recognizing that we need to have the courage to say no and to the analogy I often use is pruning, to prune away those things that really aren't serving the life energy of the whole, you know, for ourselves as well as all that we're touching. And that takes courage, but, you know, it also feels really good, you know, to be aligned with your yes and to be living life in support of life thriving in a way.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a beautiful way with words.
Yes.
You do.
Yes. You just say yes.
Say yes. I mean, and the no is right there, right? Because no to that. Yeah. It's like you say yes to vitality by choosing good, organic, healthy fruit and vegetables compared to saying, well, I got to say no to the Snickers bars and the, you know, the bad beer. It's okay to have a good beer, but you know, but the process of choosing your own heart purpose too, and your passion. Where does your passion? You can be tough and resilient, right? You got to have a little flexibility and resilience, but you don't want to live your whole life, you know, fighting through the dog do, right? You want to have joy and some excitement and some, you know, dig deep into that heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this was huge for me in my own healing journey, you know, as I was witnessing what it was that was bringing me alive, because I was doing all these different things that seemed that like they should be working, you know, and yet when things really began to shift is when I had the courage to make the deeper alignments, you know, and to take a path that others might not have expected for me, and to really design my life consciously in a way that worked for me. And that was when things really shifted in my journey of healing.
That's a big one.
I just read this quote yesterday from Julie Taylor Johnson's book, Center a Point, but it was James or Campbell. I got the right. Anyway, he said that you really got to fight for your own passion, because there's a lot of other people out there that have a different idea of where your life's supposed to go.
Yeah.
That's really, I'm thinking like that. Well, I'm going to go into this career because, you know, you think it's a good one, or you're told it's a good thing for you, or
your,
whatever, you know, and then you get into it. And
or
you
your
know,
SAT test told you that you're supposed
sure,
to do that. You
and
know,
now you've invested all this life energy into it, but then all of a sudden what you really love to do, the yes things, are what you're calling a hobby, let's say, right? Well, that's my hobby. I love that. It's like, well, can it be your life purpose, right? Can you change that? So that's a good one. I like number 5. You're right. I knew I'd like that. All right. We better keep moving here. Well, this is so much fun. An hour and a half. Number 6.
So number 6 is experimenting with playful curiosity. This is another one of my favorites. So this goes right along with the last one, where it's, you know, having the courage to really, I mean, it's a different kind of yes, but it's a yes to, oh, my health and self-care journey doesn't have to be so serious. It doesn't have to be a chore. It doesn't have to be like something that I'm trying to box myself in and I have to deny myself of all these things. And instead, we can orient in a way that's playful and curious and open, and to take ourselves out of the box and really use our creativity to design ways in which we care for ourselves in an orientation of experimentation. And the thing that's huge with this is that it, at least, you know, in my experience and working with my clients, is like it takes the lid off and it takes the pressure off, because so many of us can end up feeling like, okay, like this is what I need to do and it needs to look just like this. And we end up in this very linear kind of version of what our the self-care things we're supposed to be doing are and how they're supposed to fit into our life. And this just allows us to be experimental. And the thing that I often say to clients is, why not create an experiment for 2 weeks? And, you know, rather than it seeming like something you have to, you know, get yourself sort of all willed up to do for a long time, excuse me, you try something out for 2 weeks and see what happens, and you can learn from it, you know. So the whole healing journey then becomes an orientation of learning and curiosity. And at the end of 2 weeks, if what you tried out as your experiment did good things for you, you can just keep doing it. Maybe you might want to make a little tweak. Or if you didn't like it, you completely scrap it and try something totally new. And the orientation is at from that foundation of, you know, you're supporting your own life energy, and that can happen in a lot of different ways, and there's lots of different strategies, and really the limit is your own creativity. So so that's key number six.
Well, you just wiped out all of the jogging tennis shoe world, because you never see a happy jogger.
Not
out there.
True.
No. My wife, she's a full-time
jogger. Lifelong adult
I've
runner.
Never seen a jogger smile. So
oh
let's throw that exercise out the window and come up with something a little more fun.
Yeah.
It's just so... Yeah.
We'll let that one go.
Yeah, we'll
we
let it go.
On.
Number seven.
But find something you like to do so you keep doing it. You know, that's really...
Yeah.
You know, or you shift it. You change it every 2 weeks. That's a great way to do it, too. You keep it shifting.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah,
just one every 2 weeks. Yeah. Then it might not feel so bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Number seven, we got 10 minutes left. We got to rock.
All right. I'll whip through these. So key number seven is discovering easeful discipline. And this one is recognizing, and it goes right along with key number six. I know sometimes people think, oh, there's the discipline part. But this is recognizing that we actually do need discipline, but it doesn't have to be like the rigid, harsh, mean, strict voice inside. It can actually be playful and easeful as well. But we need discipline, because any kind of habit change or time of transition has with it an uncomfortable time, you know, where we're moving from one thing to the next, where the old is dying away, and you know, whether, you know, we haven't exercised for a while and we start exercising again, and there's that period of discomfort before it starts to really feel good, you know, every change has that. And so the discipline is acknowledging that we need some structures and support, some strategy, and an orientation of clear commitments to ourselves, and in order to make that happen. But we can do so, you know, from that loving, compassionate place where we have our own back, and we're simply taking the time to create the strategy and structures that will support us and to align it with the realities of our daily life. So we're not sort of taking someone's prescription and trying to apply it to ourselves, but instead we're oriented in that curious experimental way of how can this work? And I'll try it out this way for a couple of weeks with this kind of structure and this discipline and see what happens.
Well, you might have to add an extra week to that, because it's supposed to be 21 days to change a habit.
Yes.
You got to read your book and just add another week to that, too.
I know. I keep saying the 2 weeks because that it's easier to sort of bypass the resistance that can come in.
Mm-hmm.
That if it's longer than 2 weeks, but yeah, I've actually heard that it can take up to 6 weeks or longer for habit change to happen.
It depends, you know, on how deep that groove is.
I like that easeful discipline, though. That's such a nice terminology. Because I kind of bristled, like, oh, discipline. But you said it's easeful, just being, you know, working.
Well, you have to have that willpower. I mean, we've been on a cleanse now. No, it's now we call it our new lifestyle, right. But we hadn't cleansed for about 3 years. We used to do it at least once a year, and you got to get up some gumption. You got to say, okay, let's make it through the first 3 days. And once you get past the first 3 days, now let's add. We're going to go at least 2 weeks. I mean, we committed to 28 days, but I failed at that for a couple times. I'm going to do this. And then you just got it. Sometimes it takes two or three times. Okay, I am committing, and you're getting past those, there's a lot of addictions out there, physically, emotionally, mentally, chemically. It's all there. You got to get past those to get that vitality experience. It's like, oh, this feels so good. This is why I choose to exercise. I'm on my seventh day. I'm past the sore point. Oh, yes, I feel good in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So
important.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number eight.
Yeah, and that leads right into key number eight, because one of the things that supports us the most in getting through those transitional times is support. And so key number eight is inviting support and connection. And for me, this is huge, and it was huge in the learning in my own healing journey that, you know, yes, each of us is our own best health guide, but we're relational creatures, and we need each other. And to have the courage and vulnerability, you know, to reach out and gather with discernment, you know, the different members of our team of support, whether they're peers and family or professionals that we hire, so that we're actually held and we're not alone in the journey, and we can, you know, reveal the shame and the vulnerabilities that, that are part of, you know, the deeper healing that needs to happen in order for us to really move with the empowerment and with, yeah, the creativity to align with what brings us alive in life. And so inviting support and connection, it's absolutely essential.
Agreed.
Yeah, Paula does it great. She gets four grumpy joggers instead of one. Was a smile.
I call us the Fab Five runners. And they all buy into it. Next thing you know, we're running a half marathon. That's how it goes.
Yeah. Number nine.
Yeah, and number nine brings it all full circle. Like, number nine is living like you matter. And for me, this is acknowledging that our health isn't just about us. You know, that as you were speaking to earlier, you know, that the life energy that infuses us is infusing all these other beings, humans and other life forms and the planet, you know. So it's recognizing that we're part of that greater web and that caring for ourselves really matters, that each of us is responsible for allowing our own unique expression to flourish and thrive and blossom in the world, and that the world needs that. We all need that. And for me, this is incredibly urgent and poignant at this time, which is part of the impetus to write my book right now, is that, you know, our world needs us. And, you know, regardless of the scale that each of us shows up, you know, as parents or in our local communities or in a global scale, but we all are needed to support the flourishing of life moving forward. And it starts with each of us caring for ourselves.
That's beautiful.
Wow. I mean, the inspiration of that, it's not only is that vibration actually changes the planet and changes other individuals, but your own experience in that alone, you know, if people can get to that, and that's where you talk about the steps, like really looking within and then taking the actions to experience that vitality. It's in order to continue it. It's like once that vitality is rolling in you, all those decisions become so much easier to choose good food. The good thoughts come when you feel good, right? When you wake up in the morning and you're vital and you start making good choices. Healthy people, healthier, happy people make healthier, happier choices. It's easier. But you got to get past that, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to know that you do matter. You got to care enough for yourself to discover that.
Right. One thing I want to ask, Deb, our time's almost done. We're down to just 2 minutes, but where can people reach you if they have questions? If they, you know, are you open to that? Do you have a website or something that folks can find you at?
Yeah. Well, I love to hear from people. So, yeah, please reach out. My website is vitalmedicine.com. And if you're curious to learn more about the book, you can go to thevitalitymap.com and download a free excerpt and find out more there.
Awesome. That's great.
You do have, again, I'll say this, an incredible way with words. You see the world in a very beautiful, sweet way. And I people need to hear it in so many ways. You're definitely much sweeter than I am in the way that I approach things. In the world of wellness and the cesspool out there, I go out. I got a big mirror and I like to shine it very brightly in the process. And so I really appreciate that gentleness and that sweet way that you do bring it to the people. I'm sure it's heard in a very wide range and it's needed today. So
yes, thank you so much for joining us on this show today. Again, I just want to echo what Paul said, that it's really beautiful information and you express it very, very well through your words, and I'm excited to look more into it. It's very clear. I want to again remind folks that this has been Dr. Deborah Zucker, and her website is vitalmedicine.com, and also you can go to vitalitymap.com to look at this lovely Transforming Relationship by the 9 Keys to Deep Vitality.
Living in Washington, left the Midwest, but someday maybe she'll come back and visit.
I hope to come back and visit. And thank you both so much. I really appreciate this dialogue a lot.
Yes, it's been fun. All right, next up is Paul Fairchild with The Train and the Nearly Noon News.